Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to our shack meeting here today, February 16th. It is 11:30. Thank you for your participation here today. We do have a few of our council members that are not here today. Lois Bartison and John Fanning and Max Johnson are absent and not able to be with us here today. But we do have myself, Terry Hagler. We do have Carissa Paris, Josh Hardwick, and Angie Haney in attendance. And we also have our PE teachers here from our West Intermediate campus, Julie Williams, and from our East Elementary, David Rodriguez. At this time, we are required to offer the opportunity for public comment on human sexuality instruction. So if there's anybody in attendance today here that would like to come up for public comment and speak on this topic. There is nobody that has joined us here today. Once again, we will offer that opportunity once again at our second meeting discussing human sexuality at our April shack meeting, and that will be posted with the date and time at a later date. Council, we sent you the minutes from the last meeting. I hope everybody had an opportunity to look at those. Does anybody want to make a motion to approve those minutes?
Yeah.
I have a motion by Josh. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Angie. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
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 Passage. We always start off our meetings by mentioning the purpose of the shack. Shack assists the district in ensuring the local community values are reflected in health education instruction and strengthens the connection between health and learning. In short, our goal is to assist the district in creating a healthy school environment. We have two topics on our agenda today, human sexuality instruction, basically this discussion Q&A, followed up by Julie Williams and David Rodriguez speaking to us about our physical education curriculum. I passed around a couple of handouts, and there's really no rhyme or reason of what order we're going to go in on these handouts. Like I said, today's basically just going to be a discussion, answer a lot of your questions. I think it's real easy to start off with this page right here, the Texas Administrative Code. Those are the essential knowledge and skills for health education. For those of y'all that do not know, we are adopting a new health book this year. We will be inviting our health teachers. There's three in our district, one at each junior high and one at the high school. We'll invite them to the next meeting. They are on a textbook adoption committee for the health book. And if we bring them to that meeting, we can also let the people on the shack discuss or ask any questions regarding the health book as well, because that's an adoption in itself. And obviously we're here today as a shack required by the House bill that we as a shack will determine what we adopt as a human sexuality curriculum. And I will explain later how we're going to be able to divide those two. So you might ask the question, or people have asked the question, why are we teaching human sexuality? Well, because we teach health at the eighth grade level and at the high school level. It's the same course. You get a high school credit as an eighth grader, or you take it as a high school student. It's an elective. It's not, that class is not required. We require at Wiley ISD that if you do not take the health class, we require you to take a CTE course, which is a similar topic on health, but it's the first class in a sequence to get a CTE endorsement, but we do give our students a health credit for that. But human sexuality will not be taught in that class. So if you look at this, as you can see, it's several pages of the TEKS. I've highlighted the ones that I feel, after looking at, that might be the ones that are red flags or questions about what might be taught in a human sexuality lesson. I might have missed some, but I think you can see the ones that are, they're all related to sexual activity, STDs, sexual harassment. Let me go ahead and explain to you the rules and guidelines. And we may cover it more than once when I hand out these other handouts. But the one thing I think is really important about this meeting for the people that are in attendance and for the people that are listening to the recording is that no student at Wiley ISD will be taught human sexuality unless their parents opt them in to be taught this subject. Let me repeat that. We let these students select a class. They select health as an elective. So they will be in a health class. But human sexuality will not be taught in that class. They will be pulled out and removed, probably come in here in the black box or in the pack and be taught human sexuality at that time separately. And like I said, I'm going to kind of digress and go back and forth, but the textbook that I'm going to recommend to our shack today, as well as other options, they have sort of separated the human sexuality out of the health book as a separate companion piece. So back to what I'm talking about. A student's in a health class at Wiley ISD 2022-23 school year. And so they have this textbook in front of them. Hypothetically, I don't know, let's say it's a 300-page textbook, which covers all the T's, okay? But anything dealing with human sexuality has been removed, and it's in a separate companion piece that those students never see. It's only provided for the human sexuality content. And once again, no student will be taught unless their parents opt them in. So there's a lot of safeguards. Okay. So the teaks that you see highlighted on the sheet that I just gave you on the administrative code, those are the ones that will be in that separate companion piece. So are there any questions regarding that?
So to this point, previous school years, it's been all included?
Great question. The TEKS have changed, and a lot of the new things are the controversial subjects. So to answer your question, we've been using the same textbook. I don't know the exact year, but 10 plus years.
Yeah.
A lot of the TEKS are the same, but a lot of them are not. But the main thing that I've noticed that's different is the topics like contraceptives and things such as that. A lot of those TEKS have been added that would not be in that previous textbook. Now, those teachers realize they can still use the old textbook as a resource.
Sure.
But we're going to adopt a new one because I think it's very important to go to a school board let the school board know that we are looking at and recommending a textbook that covers all the TEKS.
Okay.
So anytime there's a change in TEKS, that's not the new textbook adoption.
Gotcha.
Did I answer your question?
You did.
Okay.
You did.
Max, I'm just going to let you.
Yes,
I apologize. Just for the members listening on audio, Max Johnson has joined us, one of our council members. Let's go to the next page. Like I said, they're in no specific order. I'll tell you what. Let's do this page next. The resolution. Monday night at the school board meeting, we went before our board of trustees and gave them information from House Bill 1525, and we are required as a school district to adopt a resolution in compliance with that House bill. The board of trustees establishes the following. By authority of the resolution, the board of trustees convenes the district school health advisory council, this group right here, the SHAC, for the purpose of making recommendations regarding curriculum materials. The SHAC shall hold at least two public meetings, one of them today, on curriculum materials before adopting recommendations, and shall provide the recommendations adopted by the SHAC to the Board of Trustees at a public meeting of the Board of Trustees. So we'll have this meeting, another one, and we will probably present, if we feel comfortable as a committee, present a recommendation to our board as early as May. If we're not ready by that time, we could extend into the summer, but obviously we got to order materials for the upcoming school year. One thing that we can do, and we got to remember, is we can adopt the health book separately from the human sexuality, so we can go and get the materials for our health classes, which is vital. So I will probably try to figure out a way to do that by April, if possible. So then you see C on there, the Board of Trustees, after receipt of the Shack's recommendation, shall take appropriate action on the adoption of the recommendations by a record vote at a public hearing. So it's an action item at a board meeting. Curriculum materials proposed to be adopted for the district's human sexuality instruction shall be made available in accordance with the applicable law. And you'll read in on the other forms that we have is we will need to have access for parents to review and look at these materials at the campuses, at the campus level, but also once I get the materials before our next meeting, we'll have them available at central office if any parents would like to come by and view those. They can also purchase one if they would like, but because since we're getting samples or we are purchasing, we'll provide copies if they can come view, or if they want one, they'll have to purchase it themselves. Before adopting the curriculum materials in the district's human sexuality instruction, the Board of Trustees shall ensure that the curriculum materials are, one, based on the advice of this committee, two, suitable for the subject and grade level for which the curriculum materials are intended. I've already noted that's going to be 8th grade through 12th grade for their high school credit. And three, reviewed by the academic experts. I don't know if anybody wants to be a member of that expert group. I think what we're talking about here are our health teachers when we're talking about the health book, and maybe I'll throw myself in there, not with that term, but just as a member of that group. And then, as I've already said, we want any parental input, so we want this committee to also be a part of the health book adoption as well. And three, reviewed by those experts and subject grade level for which the curriculum materials are intended. So that's what we did on Monday night. The school board took an action item, voted on it. It was unanimous that this committee will now have the authority to review, look at materials. We have to make it an action item. We'll have to use parliamentary procedures at our next meeting and vote on a curriculum that we will recommend to the board. They ultimately make the final decision with their action vote. Any questions about the resolution? The reason we're going on all this is because I want to make sure that everybody knows we're following all the requirements by House Bill 1525. No questions on that page? Okay, now let's go to this page. Once again, you see highlighted stuff. It's just things that stood out to me. And some of this is going to be repetitive. Any sex education content. Any sex education course materials must present abstinence from sexual activity as the preferred choice of behavior in relationship to all sexual activity for unmarried persons of school age. Devoted more attention to abstinence from sexual activity than any other behavior. Emphasize that abstinence from sexual activity, if used consistently and correctly, is the only method that is 100% effective in preventing pregnancy, sexually transmitted disease, HIV, and the emotional trauma associated with adolescent sexual activity. So as you notice on the screen there, up there, when we talk about a resource that I'm going to recommend to you guys, you can see that's the very first thing that's going to be taught. That's been taught in the previous health book as well. That is required by TEA in the state of Texas. So is there any questions about that statement? I'm going to use the word controversial. I think when we get to the next topic, it's controversial. It talks about condoms and contraceptives. The main word you're looking at says districts may. See the word may include content on contraception and condoms, but must teach human use reality rates instead of theoretical laboratory rates. So this committee, by the next meeting, will determine if that's what we're going to teach in the Wiley ISD school district. Okay. Excuse me, I don't want to speak on turn. We will make that recommendation to the board. School advisory, health councils, y'all know all about that. Curriculum adoption. State law requires sex education curriculum be adopted by school boards on the recommendation of Shack. Once again, that's repeated. I've already said curriculum materials must be made available for review during the adoption process. It's important I say that today because those of y'all listening on the recording, we only have it on the screen because the State Board of Education finally made their decisions on what books were going to be on the adoption list right before Christmas break. Obviously, schools, TEA, State Board of Education may shut down over Christmas break. We come back, we're what, 5 weeks in. I've asked the publisher to provide me with materials. He was not able to do so, but he did give me the information, which we're going to show on the screen here in a minute. And that's just from that textbook company. There's numerous ones, but I'll explain to you why we want to consider Goodhart Wilcox. Goodhart Wilcox is one of many publishers. They are the only one that the State Board of Education agreed to put on the adoption list. I can't speak for the State Board of Education, nor can I. What I'm fixing to show you is my assumption. Many publishers went to the State Board of Education. They have hearings, and they listen to the publishers. They get copies. They see what the content is. I assume there was content in the other publishers' materials that the State Board of Education did not feel comfortable providing on an adoption list for a school to choose from. That's an assumption. I don't know that for sure. I didn't watch the hearings. But I do know the State Board of Education did make a decision that they felt comfortable with Goodhart Wilcox. And it's the only one on the adoption list for us to preview. But one thing you need to understand is a school district can choose and select any resources to teach the teams. I've always, since I've been in this position, felt comfortable to go to the board with something that's on the list because it's come through the state and it's 100% of the teams. You get those other publications, you can't guarantee what's in there, so it's put in the classroom and the instructor teaches. There's a little bit more concern on the board. I threw a lot at you right there. Did what I say right there make sense? I, as the chair of this committee, recommend Goodhart Wilcox. And not only for our health book adoption, and our three health teachers have copies of it. They're looking through it right now. I think they may like it. I think if they had their way, they'd keep the one that they have right now because that's what they're used to. They can still use that as a resource. But we feel we need to adopt a new book. So not only did the State Board of Education agree to put that health textbook on the adoption list, that health textbook consists of the human sexuality chapters, which is going to be pulled out in a separate companion piece, but that's been approved by the State Board of Education as well. Questions about that?
It's going to be pulled out of the textbook?
Yeah, I think it came in that. When you purchase a textbook, these publishers are huge, and they print books for all the states. The publisher's not in the state of Texas. They print for, but they have to adjust the material in the books to follow the teach for each state. And because of this House bill with the human sexuality, they've made the decision to take that out of the actual health book that'll be in the classroom, and it's a total separate companion piece. But the state board approved the material because it was in the book that they put before them for the adoption. And we're fixing to show you the four chapters that deal with human sexuality.
Apologize.
Oh, no, that's fine. Any questions?
I think that was actually helpful for me, so for clarity. When it was approved by the State Board of Education, it was all in the book. So all the content's gone through that process.
Correct.
But for the companion piece, that is a separate.
Right. I don't know this for sure, but I've been talking to the account exec. He probably could have gave me copies probably off of the huge book.
Yeah.
Dee Baker, our health teacher over, she's got one in her class right now. And you're going to notice when the new government, the chapters are not even going to be in the same order of what you're going to see. And actually, since we're talking about it, you have a copy of that.
So it is physically removed from the book and exists only in a companion piece.
Yes, sir.
So it's not like we're not just
I need a copy.
Not teaching this in the health class. It is only in that setting.
Did everybody get a copy of this? For example, support the opt-out requirements of House Bill 1525 and Senate Bill 9. Let me explain Senate Bill 9 real quick. That passed since we've been back from Christmas break. Okay? And the governor made the decision that not only for human sexuality, also under Senate Bill 9, violence prevention and response, that chapter 22, we now, the parents have to opt in for that instruction as well. That has happened since we started working on this from the beginning of the year. That was just added last month. But it's already in the book because it's still in the health teams. But we'll have to have a separate opt-in for that information as well. So if you look at this Goodhart Wilcox, if you look over on the right-hand side, it shows you GW companion material to accompany the Texas Health Skills for High School. Those four chapters are the ones that's going to be in the companion piece that will be purchased by the school district, but will not be in the classroom for our health class.
And what about the content from the middle school side?
We're not purchasing anything for the middle school because we're only teaching the high school to the eighth grade for our high school.
Correct. Right. Gotcha.
Each school district makes their own decisions. I talked to Abilene ISD the other day. They went opposite of us. They're only teaching it the middle school, but it's not for high school credit. So that each district has that discretion. Health, I don't know if I mentioned it, health is not required in the state of Texas. It used to be. Just recently, it's no longer a required course. So school districts have that discretion. You're asking good questions.
Are parents able to get this supplemental for purchase?
As soon as I can get it. All I have is a password to get in here. My plan is, as soon as I get, they're not printed yet. Because I can't remember when you came in. They didn't even make the decision until it was either late November or December to get it on the adoption list.
Correct.
So they don't even have the materials. So if
the parents opt out of not allowing them to have that in school but want to teach at home, they can get the material to be able to teach at home.
Hold that thought. Right now, we have, as soon as we get the materials at the central office and at the campuses, I'm going to have a copy of the companion piece.
Okay.
For the adoption period. Once we adopt it, yes, a parent can do one of two things. They can purchase it themselves, or we will have a copy of it at the campuses for them to go.
Oh, to check out. Okay.
Perfect. Well, they'll have to stay there and look at it. We're at the tax dollar, at the tax payers' expense, we're not going to purchase less of it. They want to have access.
That's right. Okay.
Yes. And that's required. That's required by the House bill as well.
Thank you.
Any questions about how that companion piece looks? I think on the back of this one, we followed these rules under Shacks. We posted and met the 72-hour notice in advance. We are doing the recording right now. We are waiting for TASB to provide us with some direction on what this opt-in sheet looks like. Mm-hmm. I have asked Region 14 numerous times about this, and it's become a joke that we don't know when we're going to get it. It may be something we have to create ourselves, which is fine. But if you can see at the bottom, it says, parents must provide written permission to actually opt their children into sex education. This provision is only in place through 2024. Parents have the right to review sex education curriculum at their students' own campus, and parents have the right to purchase sex education curriculum from the publisher. So we're waiting for a little direction from them, but this is what I see next year. We have to meet the guideline, the amount of days that we have to get the opt-in from the parent. The one thing that they're very specific about is it can't be on a sheet with other options. Think back to the beginning of the year when you get all those sheets and you check them on. This has to be a total separate piece, individual, saying I'm opting in so that there's no confusion about what there's. Because, you know, I'm a parent, you just start checking.
Right.
They don't want that to be the case. They want you to know what you're checking.
And it is opting in by the parent, not by a student.
Correct. Correct.
Why only through 2024?
My only guess on that is because that's the next legislative session. That'd be my guess. I can't answer that.
I would assume so.
Yeah. I know that was a lot of information. Now, once again, I want you to hear me. I'm recommending Goodhart Wilcox. I actually have a copy here of another publisher. I go to a certain page and I see more controversial subjects than what this textbook has. I'll pass it around. I can only assume that didn't make it on the list because of the topics that are listed in that book. But there's numerous books like that out there that every school district has the right to adopt, and that's why they've let the local SHAC make that decision. You know, I think the value system of the community that we live in, Abilene, Texas, and our Wiley community, I don't think they would accept any option other than what the State Board of Education listed. So there's just a mistake. Okay, now they've hooked me up with a neat little apparatus. You might want to, what I'm fixing to show you on the screen, this is the actual textbook that Goodhart Wilcox, this is the one that was put on the adoption list by the State Board of Education. And I've created a little cheat sheet for myself, and there's four chapters. We're not gonna go over all this. I just want you. I'm gonna go through it. And if you have questions, you're more than welcome to ask questions. Soon as I get the samples from the account executive, I'm gonna get each of y'all a copy so you can preview before our next meeting. But what you're gonna get is exactly what you're fixing to see. As we've already noted, and the requirement is, you must emphasize abstinence. So that's the very first thing I want to show you, that is chapter 14. That's the main emphasis of that chapter. I've looked through these chapters. I've looked through the glossary. I don't see any huge controversial subjects other than what we've already discussed. Now, obviously, many parents think just the topic of teaching human sexuality is controversial, and that's why you have a
sure.
So everybody has a different view on that. So basically, that's what that chapter's about. So you can see why certain parents would not want this taught at school, that they might want to make that decision to teach their children that in their own home. But we offer it, and we offer it because it is in the health teams. So I'm going to skip down to chapter 15. I can't. That's the only way I can do it. Sorry. This is the Senate bill that we were talking about a second ago. This is where you're going to find this material. Violence. Assault. So once again, has to be an opt-in for that as well. Sexual harassment, sexual assault. Chapter 16, and once again, if you notice, I've told you already, it doesn't match up with that sheet I gave you because they're having to adjust it to Texas. So on this one, chapter 16 is something that was taught. Made a decision after talking to the health teachers. You know, they have a little anxiety about teaching this themselves, and we told them they're not going to teach that individually. We'll get you together. I get people from we've got some science teachers who feel very comfortable, our biology teachers teaching human sexuality. So we might do it as a group effort, not just making one health teacher get in front of a group of kids and teach these subjects.
These are all the opt-in.
Correct. Everything I'm going over is the opt-in.
And the things you're pointing out now are things that are not being taught in human sexuality, like the human trafficking, the cyberbullying. That's all going to be new, or that's part of it now?
Those are part of the new TEKS, and they have to be a part of the opt-in.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm asking, is that part of the human sexuality curriculum now, or is that something that's going to be new to the new one? Okay.
Trying to get to STDs. apologize that we didn't have some of those. It's going to be a chapter. They call them STIs now. You'll find this information in the present textbook. STDs, STIs. But this, once again, is information that at the parents' discretion, whether or not they want their children to have this material. So I think we would all agree these are the things that you think would be taught in a human sexuality course. So as you can tell, they get pretty detailed. And if there's any question, I know I'm going through this quick. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what's in the opt-in. Prevention, now this is where we get a little controversial. That page right there is something maybe in different households, parents would have different views on what would be taught and what would be discussed. But just once again, I think I've said this twice, but I think it's important to keep repeating. No student at Wiley ISD will be taught human sexuality unless the parent agrees to an option. I've got to keep emphasizing that. That's the safeguard. And then when you get to chapter, the next chapter is the reason we say we might want to bring in the science teachers, because it's basically just reproduction. Once again, it's not matching up. Remember, the chapters are different. I apologize. Please be the next one. There we go. And that's why there's kind of a group effort. This is the nuts and bolts of human sexuality, male reproduction, female reproduction, conception, pregnancy. The possible controversial would be lesson 21, teen pregnancy, apparently. So I know I went over that real quick. And once again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I really wish we would have the companion pieces. They're just not there for right now. But if I don't get them in a timely manner, we'll push that April meeting back. There's no reason to meet without having those terms. Because, I went over that in 4 minutes, and y'all need to have those answers. So I apologize for not being able to have it. That is a lot of information. How does everybody feel as a parent?
I think as a parent, I appreciate the opportunity to decide. Maybe based on each of my kids. There's not a one-size-fits-all approach to where a student is at the eighth grade level, at the ninth grade level, and so on. So I think personally I appreciate the willingness to let parents make decisions for their family.
What about if parents say, I want to opt in, but I'd like to sit in on the class periodically because I just want to see what that looks like? Is that an option?
No, ma'am. We do not allow parents to sit in any of our classrooms for several reasons.
Yeah.
One, safety. You just assume every parent that walks into a class is safe, but in the world we live in today, you saw how difficult it was just to get in here and come to this meeting.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't allow that. And the disruptions that it causes.
Yeah.
So no, we don't allow that for anything.
Okay.
But they do but they do have an option to look at the material that's being taught.
Okay.
And that's not just sale, that's anything we have. You can go on our webpage and look at the teas that we're teaching right now. And if a parent wanted to come in and look at any textbook that we have adopted, if we have an abundance of them, I'd give them a copy. We have some in our book rooms. I don't know of any school districts that allow that. There might be some. I think it'd be rare. The disruptions. It's not good.
Yeah. Well, and it's a risk, too. You don't know what a parent may stand up and say in
exactly.
front of that group of
yeah.
kids, you know, if
yeah.
they don't agree with something.
Yeah, when I said safety, I meant physical safety, but yeah. Safety what?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the only reason I ask is, I know years ago in AISD, it wasn't a class, but it was like a seminar that they did, and the parents were invited to be a part of that if they wanted to, and so I just didn't know if that was an option or not.
We don't have any plans for a seminar, but that's something we could consider.
I'm definitely in agreement that it's great that the parents are having the opportunity and to be able to judge at what time their child is. Realistically, these kids are getting this information much earlier than when they come to this eighth grade class. That's one reason why I think parents should be educated and say, this is the material that will be taught. If you opt out, there is still a responsibility for society to teach these kids so that when they're in school and they hear slang words or they know to either ignore or they at least have information on what those subjects are. Condoms, for example, other contraceptive, for example. It's unrealistic to think that a child in high school has not at least heard. They may not understand what it is or what it does, but it's unrealistic to think that they have not heard those. Anybody that believes that is wearing rose-colored glasses.
Which is why the state put that information in the book, in the TEKS, because they feel that it needs to be taught.
Correct.
But that's important.
So it's the State Board of Education that determines which subjects would fall in the middle school companion or the high school companion?
The State Board of Education approves the text.
Right, I'm sorry, the publisher made the decision.
Yes. Of course, they work with TEA, the Texas Education Agencies, as far as instruction and TEKS.
So depending on whether they take their health class in eighth grade or high school, they might get slightly different information?
Different school districts. Wiley only is adopting the high school.
Okay.
Because when we have an eighth grader that takes health at Wiley, it's a
high school
career.
Okay.
That's why I say AISD went a different route. Gotcha. They're teaching it to the younger kids, but they don't require health.
Okay.
They don't offer it at the high school level.
The 6 through 8, we're not considering it. It's not.
The only thing that's taught while the ISD at the lower grades is hygiene.
Oh.
And it does look like the high school material has this in it, but it's probably done in a little bit different way. I think as a parent, these are the kinds of things that we're going to have these conversations with our kids earlier than 8, 9 or whatever. But for families that for whatever reason don't have those conversations at home or have not yet, I do appreciate the opportunity for parents to be able to look at this and know this is the content. So whether it may be a better option for some, you may have grandparents raising grandkids that they don't want to have that conversation, but they're grateful that somebody can have that conversation in a way that they feel comfortable with. Personally, I feel like it's late.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, different school districts make different decisions about their students getting their credits, core classes, their electives. You have to work that in at the lower grade level. They're probably not, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're probably doing a day per 6 weeks. I don't know who's teaching how they're doing it
yet,
whereas we do it within our actual health class. And you may go to 20 other school districts and they all do it differently. Right?
Sure.
They leave it up to the school districts. But remember, just a few years ago, health was required to be offered. by school districts. So most of that topic was taught in those classes. So, as we said, Q&A discussion today. Hope to get the materials soon. We'll get them to you ASAP. If I don't get them, that planned meeting, which is the second Wednesday of April, will move that. And is there any other materials that y'all would like for me to provide that the State Board of Education did not adopt? It would be examples of more controversial subjects.
I'm sure.
Subjects that, in my opinion, that would not be accepted by our committee. My opinion of it. That's why we have a committee. Any further questions about human sexuality curriculum? Let's turn to physical education curriculum. Ladies first.
Sure.
My name is Julie Williams. This is my fourth year teaching PE at Wiley West Intermediate and 21st year in education. When I graduated from Abilene Christian University, I took a job at Abilene High as assistant girls volleyball and basketball coach. I love sports, fitness, and I'm competitive by nature. Also, I have a huge heart for kids. After having two kids of my own, I decided to get out of coaching and move into the classroom. I taught first grade at Wiley for 8 years. That was a very rewarding job. When the PE job opened up at the intermediate campus, I went for it. I love my job, I love the students, and they love to come to PE. I do my best to create a fun, positive, yet safe environment for my students on a daily basis. I provide a variety of activities for my students while covering all the TEKS. The TEKS that are expected to be covered at the elementary level for PE and health are as follows. Safety practices, body awareness, cleanliness, healthy behaviors, healthy food choices, importance of exercise and movement, social development, heart health, manipulative and locomotor skills. The assessment that the state requires the third and fourth grade PE to take is the fitness gram. We do the push-up test, the sit-up test, sit and reach, 20-meter pacer test, along with height and weight. We practice these throughout the school year before the actual testing in February. It's exciting to see the kids' improvements. At this age, my focus is to provide a variety of activities throughout the year to provide a safe, positive environment. I love competitive games, but there are those kids that withdraw in competition if they are not confident. Therefore, I change up our activity from day to day. We play some sort of tag once a week. We have a day of organized free choice that usually includes hula hoops, jump ropes, and a competitive game on the other half of the court. These consist of volleyball, basketball, indoor soccer, or flipper ball, and that's a lead-up game for football. We do relays with locomotor skills such as skipping, jogging, hopping, galloping, grapevine, crab walking, figure eights, and sprinting. I teach beginning volleyball skills, basketball and soccer fundamentals, jump rope skills, and lead-up football, kickball, and softball games. I don't play elimination games. If a student's tagged or gets out, they go to the sideline and do 10 jumping jacks or some sort of exercise. Then they re-enter the game. On certain days, when we have competitive games, I give the option of the Wiley track to those who don't want to play the game. The Wiley track is the purple gym line around the outside, and I allow kids to walk while talking to friends. Again, my focus is to keep the kids moving and teach skills and introduce sports, health, and fitness in a positive manner.
And Julie has third and fourth grade students on her campus.
Yeah. My kids have loved the variety. It's fun to hear them talk about the different days, as different activities and things like that. And it's funny that they're so different. I had one of them just the other day, I think last week, they were talking about, what do you do on Free Day Friday? Older one asked me, younger one. She's like, I do everything. I do a little bit of everything. And then, you know, others are, well, I always have this one thing that I love getting you on. But it's free choice. So.
I hired Julie over at the end of the week, and she does does a great job over there. I used to love to walk into the gym and the kids to smile. I mean, they just love PE. Right, as we did when we were kids, everybody loves PE, but just the smiles on their face. The only problem I have with intermediate PE is the music they play on Fridays. Y'all got to update that music. Good, right? No, it's like, yeah, I'm going to help you update your music. Because I know those kids don't recognize one of those tunes.
That's a fun place, though, as well. You were asking about parents being able to come in and listen to a class, but as a watchdog, we got to, that was often a place that we got to come in.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, we started the watchdog program about 5 years ago, and it was going strong. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit, and shut that down for a while. But I think we're gradually getting back to where parents do get to come.
Yeah.
Now, that's funny that you bring that up in the question you had earlier, because that was one of the issues with the watchdogs, because you had some watchdogs that all the rules do what they were supposed to, and we usually put them in music and PE, but then we had some watchdogs that tried to end up in their classrooms, and so we had to remove them. So,
yeah.
So that's why we chose to put them in those classes.
Sure.
And if we had a safe environment like the library, we might let some dads read to the kids and stuff like that, but not be in the classroom.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Watchdogs. I hope it gets right back to where it was.
That's a great place for it.
Those dads, much younger than me, they wore out by the end of the day.
Wore out by lunchtime. What are you talking about?
End of the day.
Any other questions for Julie? David?
David Rodriguez. My path's kind of very similar to Julie's. I believe this is my 25th year. And I spent 20 years as a coach also, and probably 15 of those years in the classroom. And now I'm doing elementary PE. So when I got out of coaching, this is year 5, and got to the elementary level, that was a brand new world of tying shoes. And, you know, especially the first week of school, the kindergartner kids were crying. It was a different world. I felt a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger in that kindergarten cop movie. But we do a lot of the same things. We have, like, we call it Funky Friday, that we get sometimes. They don't get it all the time. It just kind of depends. But where it's kind of a free time. But we organize it. It's not just go in the closet, get what you want. We have some mats we put out for tumbling, hula hoops. Then we hit in the middle of the gym. We get a game of Jackpot. The boys really love Jackpot, and then we have basketball goals on one side. We're also getting ready for the fitness gram with third and fourth grade, so we've been working on our beep test and getting used to hearing the beep and when to run and doing the push-ups the way they. If you haven't ever done 3-second push-ups, it's pretty tough. You have to, you say down, up, one. So it takes a while. I mean, if they do 10, that's doing pretty good if they're actually doing a real push-up. But we do a lot of the same things. The one thing that I probably need to get with Julie about is introducing team sports. You know, with the amount of kids that we have, it's hard to do a team sport. You know, basketball, at our school, I'm real fortunate, we have 10 basketball goals in the gym. I mean, they went not overboard, but we definitely... There's an abundance of basketball goals in the gym. So we're able to play lots of different games, basketball games, two-on-two games going on all over the place.
I want to touch on what you're saying. When we get to the junior high campuses, which are wildly unique with the fifth grade, at least this year, both East and West, they emphasize team sports at the PE classes once they get up to that level. I was just
going to
say.
Yeah, so now, so I do, I have fourth grade, kindergarten, and third grade. And so the fourth grade, I'm also at the fourth grade campus. We're doing a lot of basketball stuff. And those, for whatever reason, that group's a little smaller than the younger ones. I believe my third grade is probably the biggest ones that I got. And so we're doing more basketball. Part of the deal is since we're a new school, we don't have enough basketballs and footballs, soccer balls, to be able to say everybody gets a ball, and or with the partner in the ball to be able to say that we're going to do this as far as team sports. But I get asked a lot by the kids to play some team sports. it's just kind of hard to do with the amount of kids
that we have. You need to write a grant and get the Education Foundation to get you some of
it. And the amount of space that we have. I don't know. We don't really have outdoor space at the East Elementary because we're kind of built on the peak, it feels like. So I don't go outside really at all, plus the time constraint. And then at the new school, I think we're trying to grow some grass. So we don't really have a lot of area. We do have a big soccer goals that have, we haven't put in yet that we're going to put outside as soon as we get grass. And
just to make sure everybody's aware, their age groups, they get a PE class, but they also have a recess the same day. So they do get outside.
They do. So PE is about 23 minutes. And it's, you get in there, we exercise, we run, we play, we pack up, and then they transition to music, and then the next group from the kids coming from music are at PE. And it's nonstop. I mean, if you've been a watchdog before, you know kids are just moving. And it's nonstop, and we move. We try not to sit for too long. You know, we exercise, we run, and then we play.
Is y'all schedule the same as the
Western? It's very probably
you get
just a few minutes
off. Recess on the opposite side of the day. If you get AM, PE, you get recess, PM.
I don't know the recess.
I know that's what we try to do to get them both times.
Get a break in between, yeah. And so go back to the fitness gram, starting in third grade all the way through 12th grade, it's a requirement to be given that the fitness gram I don't know if he's in school or not, but he's probably taken the class or done the fitness gram since he was in third grade. So most of the time as they get older, they don't really care. Just let's get through this. But the elementary kids love it. We have a group of fourth graders this year that their little football team won state for Pop Warner or whatever it is. And there were some exceptional scores with those kids. So they'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Do you see at this level, do you see kids that are encouraging other kids within that leadership, or do you have kiddos that are kind of on the sideline and you're making them every day get into the activity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there peer involvement in that, or is that something that's encouraged, or if a kid wants to be left alone, we just leave them alone?
You know, it's really weird. The culture of each class is very different, I feel like. Like I have a couple of classes where I have special needs kids, mm-hmm. and our kids are so good at working with them.
Getting them involved.
And then there's some classes that don't have that kind, where it seems like everybody that's super competitive is in the same class. And those are the classes, it can be fun, but competitiveness also kind of can bring out the worst in people. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to say kids, because I'm very competitive. And so sometimes, you know, it gets too competitive. So I see both, and I'm kind of like, you have the Wiley track for those who don't want to participate. Like the other day, we're doing scooter races, and I had a young lady who didn't want to participate, mainly because it's hard for her body to move on a scooter. And so when I get those kids that don't participate, they walk the bleachers up and down, you know, because I just, okay, but you're just going to have to move. I know you don't want to do this, but you're going to have to move.
And sometimes they're just having a bad day, and they
don't feel like,
and so they have one or two friends to walk and talk with as long as they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's called Wacky Wednesday a lot of times, on Wednesdays instead of Fridays, and that's when they have all the different choices, and that's when usually I can go with the group on one half of the court and actually teach. Now, I might put the volleyball net up and actually work with some of the girls that are just starting to learn their serves, and we'll have the big trainer balls instead of the little, you know, where they can get their toss consistent. And then over here, you have the hula hoops, and some of my classes, it's been fun to watch, get the hula hoops out. Some of them are building, like, all kinds of objects. Mm-hmm. Some are, you know, throwing the hoop and trying to run through it, but mm-hmm. it's just a different dynamic each 23 minutes is different. But the main thing, I think, at this age, I do teach lead-up games. I don't teach, like, when we do kickball, it's not kickball with the rules. And, you know, your boys play baseball and know all that. We don't do that. I play, like, a three-ball kickball game when it's nice outside. And three people kick at the same time. and they run all four bases and try to make it home as a group before the fielders get the ball in a crate. So they're working together to, it's just, and you don't keep score, you don't, it's just, they kick the ball and they learn how to run the bases. And so, and not, and you're not singled out kicking by yourself or anything like that. It's just stuff like that.
And there's some teamwork involved. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's good. I think it's important to help them feel like they don't not fit because they don't want to play this particular game or they, you know, they have a hard time in the school or something like that. But the reality is, as they get older, you want them to find, feel like they can find something that they can enjoy doing that helps them take care of the one body they get. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, like, volleyball's new to Wiley, fairly new to Wiley. So there's parents that grew up here that are like, we didn't have volleyball. How can we get our kid involved? And just by showing them a few skills in class, sometimes they're like, Mom, I want to play volleyball. And then the parents are like, where can we get them? You know, so where can they start? And all you're doing in class with that many kids is kind of give them an introduction.
Introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's good. Thank you guys for what you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions? Our next meeting is scheduled for April 13th. There'll be two things on the agenda. Obviously, our second meeting over human sexuality instruction, but we also need to discuss our wellness plan, our Wiley ISD wellness plan. So I'll invite the ladies from the nutrition department back to that meeting again. They met, if you remember from my first meeting. So as of right now, that's tentatively scheduled for April 13th, as long as we get all those materials that we need by that time. And so if there's no further questions, this meeting is adjourned.